Turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 3. You've heard me say this sometimes in some of the other messages, but I'm going to get into this. St. John, chapter 3. I saw your wonderful pastor at the Southwest Believers Convention. He said, man, I'm believing God for souls into the kingdom. I said, boy, I like that. I've never come here and saw a frown on Pastor Billy Joe Sharon's face. All I saw was a, how you doing, brother? Just a smile. And I tell you, I'm so glad for his mother. She said, you need to meet, I'll never forget this, in Magnolia, Arkansas. She said, you need to meet my boy. Remember that? Magnolia, Arkansas. Lord, my God. Never forget that. That's a wonderful place. I love where I go. I love where I preach the gospel. I've had some people say, but just, I had a man ask me the other day, he said, how do you pick these convention centers? I pray about it. I might go to a town. I mean, I've been to some, ain't nobody ever heard of me. I ain't heard of them. I don't care. I'm not going there to get their money. I'm not going there to make a budget. I deal with a vision and pack the place and we have great crowds and God just blesses us. Lord, God, hallelujah. And I don't mean that arrogantly, but because I want to deal with what salvation means to me. We're going to get a little homiletical tonight since we're close to who are you. Now, thank you, Lord. And VBI, praise God. And Rhema, praise the Lord. I tell you what, Tulsa got some stuff, buddy. Aren't they? Y'all bless the God. I don't let y'all know that. Woo, Lord. Man, I want to tell you something. Y'all got more churches in Tulsa than we got strip joints in New Orleans, and that's a lot. I'm telling you, man, in New Orleans is called the Big Easy, the city of sin. I tell you, when I come to Tulsa, man, you just fly into the anointing. I just enjoy this place. Now, you may have heard me talk about four of these things, but I'm going to get a little deeper with it. St. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, didn't say would not, said should not, perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to quote that again. For God so loved the world. So what's on God's mind? The world. That he gave his only begotten son. See, because it costs something to get the world. That whosoever believeth in him should not, didn't say would not, said should not, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world. So that's the second time he says world. To condemn the world. Now, that's the third time he says world. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. People get mad at me. They say, oh, you ought to condemn the world. I say, well, if my father won't condemn the world, why should I? He didn't send Jesus to condemn it. He sent Jesus to save it. See, a Pentecostal is getting a habit of condemning a lot. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. For years, bless God, ain't nobody preached the word of God. They preach makeup and pants and dumb stuff. I don't mean that rudely, dumb stuff. Worried about a woman wearing a pair of pants. I'm glad she had some on. And how come it's always the woman? Why can't it be the man? Come on, ladies, shout. I'm setting you free. I want to let you know something about Jesse Duplantis. I can see you in a pair of pants and not lust. Some men can't. You know what they need? They need deliverance. Because a woman's more than a sexual object to be conquered. Woman got a brain. She can think. You understand what I'm saying? So he says this in verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Now that's the third time he says it. But that the world, now that's the fourth time he says it, through him might be saved. So what he's saying is, touch the world and save it. Now that's easier said than done. Because a lot of people preaching are preaching one thing and living another. See, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I'm free. All things are expedient, but not all things, you know, all things may be lawful, but not all things are expedient. You understand what I'm saying? So I made up my mind that I would try to explain what salvation means to me. For God so loved the world. Now why? There's a cause to salvation. There's a cause. Every time I do something, it's cause and effect. For God so loved the world. Now that's the cause of salvation. He loved me when I didn't love him. And ladies and gentlemen, I didn't love God and I didn't love Christians. I didn't like any Christian. I was christened a Catholic boy all my life. I was a Christian, at least I thought I was. But bless God, I didn't know God. I knew about God, but I certainly did not know God. I mean, I numine patri fili, a spiritu santo. This building kind of sounds like a Catholic church. A numine patri fili. A spirit of the sound too. Now, I'm not being rude, but that's just the way it was. I knew about the way of the cross. I didn't understand what it meant. I thought of his way fell down as stations. I knew about God. I heard about Noah and his ark and his boat and all that kind of stuff. But I certainly did not know God. I know Jesus came to the earth, but I didn't really know why. Because I was such an unworthy, no-count piece of trash sinner, why would he want to touch me? Don't shout me down. But he came for me. His only reason for coming was me, because I was the world. I was a good sinner. You may have heard me say this. When I got saved, Satan cried. He said, "We have lost a great man today, buddy. This boy is good." But God loved me when I did not love him. So there was a cause. Now people ask me all the time, "Why are you so happy?" Well, glory to God. If you'd have been saved from what I've been saved from, you'd be happy too. Do you understand that? Death, hell, and the grave. My God, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I was a sinner and good at it. Lived in Sin City, USA. Was a street boy. So the only way you're going to survive is work the street. Bless God. I was born in a suburb of New Orleans called Algiers. And most people don't go there now. They'll kill you in a second. But God so loved the world, the cause of salvation. God's love was willing. Or was the reason he was willing to come to the earth, suffer, bleed, and die. All because of me. When I began to realize that Jesus came for me, that it became personal. You see, I'm more than a Christian. I'm a Christian. I have burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God in my life. See, that's more than a religion or a denomination or a non-denomination or any denomination. My Lord, this is called reality. And when you have reality in your life, when you know God's going to do what he says. You know, I don't never disagree with God, whatever he says. Sometimes I don't like what he says, but I just keep it to myself. There's some things God say I don't particularly care for. Love your neighbor. I said, if she lived next door to you, you wouldn't love her. How you going to love your neighbor, man? You want them to move. Some of y'all believe in God, but some people leave your church. Wouldn't that be something? God will make them leave your church and go to your house. That's even worse. For God so loved the world, the cause of salvation. So there's a cause. When the devil says, "Oh, Jesse, you're not much of nothing." I said, "I am the cause for God coming to the earth. I am the cause for creating the earth." Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because let me tell you something. Don't you ever call Jesse Duplantis a servant of God. You understand me? That's an insult to my face. I am not a servant of God. Ministering spirits are servants of God. Angels are servants of God. Jesse Duplantis is a son of God. I am in the family. Now I serve, but I'm not a servant. I'm a son. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Glory to God. I'm a free man. Hallelujah. Glory. Don't call me no servant of God. You call me a son of God. I'm in the family. I'm the La Familia. Familia, you understand? I can prove it to you, brother. Michael the archangel has to stand at attention when he sees God. Gabriel the archangel has to stand at attention at the throne of God. Every angel has to stand at attention at the throne of God. But not Jesse Duplantis, not Billy Joe or Sherrod. We can sit down in the presence of God. Why? Because we are family. Hey, coming to Victory Bible Institute will set you free now. We are family. Yeah. Do you get it? You are family. That's why you can come boldly through the throne of grace. Don't get mad at me if I come up there. He said I can come boldly. So I run into that great, great throne. I said, "Hey, Jesus." He said, "What's up, Jesse? What's up, boy? Hey, family. I got a cause. I've been loved." Do you see that? Oh, Jesus, how could you ever get depressed? You family. We're the only species in the universe that can sit down in the presence of God. Every other species created has to stand at attention. Not us. We're family. I'm not the son of God, never will be, but I am a son of God. And I don't let nobody say, "So you're a servant of God?" No. I'm a son of God that serves. What can I do for you?
You need to talk to the man? I can bring you to the man. I can get you there. You see, I'm a made man. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I'm right standing. It's a free gift. I didn't earn it. He gave it to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you see that, that's the cause of salvation. For God so loved, he didn't just love us. He so loved us. Now, me and Kathy have been married 31 years. That woman loved me. Good Lord. She can't help herself. She just loves me. She does. She does. She called me today. She got to tell me two or three times before I get off the phone. I said, I heard it. I heard it. Now, women, hey, you know, they want you to tell them all the time. Men have a problem with those three words, I love you. Woman say, listen, honey, listen, look at me. Look at me. I love you. Man goes, me too. Guys, you got to learn how to say it. Thank you. For God so loved. That woman loves me. She can't help it. Been mad at me 31 years. She just loved. She, oh Lord. I mean, she would run after me when I was young. Marry me, Jesse. Marry me. Now don't tell her I told you all that. Keep that to yourself. Glory to God. Well, say that's lying. That's the way I saw it. You wasn't there. Now she may give you a different translation, but it's wrong. She had a passion for me. Ooh. You should have seen me when I was young. I was so good looking. I was. I had brown hair. I had a good body. I had them tight body. I had that six pack. I had all them muscles. Something went wrong. Look over here. I don't even know what this is. I hate it. Got one over here too. Lord Jesus. My belly button gets so deep I took a shower and water fell out of it today. It's bad. But you know what? You can call her right now in Honolulu. She'll say, I love that white-headed boy. Woo! Lord Jesus, she loves me. I sent her flowers. I might send all yellow flowers, all red flowers, except one. There's always one white rose. I don't never sign a card. I just send her flowers. If I send her a bunch of red roses, there's always one white rose. She knows that. She knows where that comes from. Always one white rose in there. She knows. She goes, ah, Jesse! For God so loved the world. Man, how many times the Lord's woke me up at night, Jesse. I said, man, we got to sleep down here. He said, I know. I'll give you some sleep. Talk to me, man. What you doing? I say, oh, God, don't talk to you like that. Talk to me like that. Well, come here, don't talk to you like that. Because you might just know about him. I don't know about him. I know him. Now, that's the difference. I know him. Me and God have some of the greatest times together. We ride motorcycles together. He saved my life many times. I've almost killed him several times. I had the Lord wake me up and say, I said, what? He said, nothing. Nothing. How you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I was trying to sleep around here, but how you doing, Lord? Then something, I go to the throne. I very seldom ever ask him for anything. I really don't. He said, what do you want, Jesse? I said, nothing. Hi. How you doing? Woo! Boy, you're a great God. If you go look inside my airplane, I got a sign on it. It says, God been good to Jesse. Jesus. Am I telling the truth? Y'all saw it today. How do you know that, Brother Jesse? Cause I know he loves me. He can be in the middle of the biggest universal decision in the world. I walk into that throne, he shut it down. Bam! One of the sons of God has come before me. Jess, come up here, boy. What you want? Oh, I just come see what y'all are doing. Just enjoy myself. For God so loved. I tell you, I finished out that 17-day thing. Man, I tell you, I got on my plane. I was coming home. I was tired. And the Lord said, you did a good job. I said, Lord. I I said, that last night I was about ready to let them all go to hell. I was too tired. I was about ready to say, Lord, if you don't save them here, forget it. Let them all go to hell anyway. It don't matter. But God, I said, but Lord, I persevere. He said, you did a good job. You did a good job. I said, thank you. Can I get a little sleep? And I just passed out in my place. And wheels, you know, they touched on me. Oh, he said, how you feel? He said, I put 8 hours in that hour there. I said, I feel like a million bucks. He said, let's go do some more again. I said, no, let's finish out the night here. Lord, I got left. He loves to save people. Because he has a cause. Well, if God so loved the world, caused the salvation, then there must be a cost. Because wherever there's a cause, there's a cost. Dream Center, cost. What's the cost? That he gave his only begotten son. Salvation's free, but it definitely isn't cheap. It cost Jesus his life. If you don't live a life of total devotion and dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're living as if salvation is cheap. See, it's not cheap to me. It's the most expensive thing ever purchased. And guess what that was? You. See, the devil can't afford us. He can't afford us. See, the cost. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. So when I live, people say, but just, have you ever had problems? I preach all the time, say, well, what's your temptations? I said, well, what's yours? He said, do you have any problem with women, Bud Jesse? Because before you was a sinner, you said you was a pretty good woman. I was a woman chasing man. Caught a bunch of them too. I don't let you know that. Ain't gonna lie about the truth. No, I don't have a problem with that. You have a problem with money? No. And God puts millions and millions of dollars in my hand. Ain't no temptation to take any of them. I see beautiful women all the time. I ain't trying to go, hey, what's up, mama? How you doing? I could care less about that. Glory to God. What's your problem, Brother Jesse? I said, you really want to know it? He said, yeah. I said, traffic. He said, traffic. I said, traffic. Lord Jesus, I hate traffic, so I bought a plane to fly over it. And guess what I ran into? Traffic. I hate traffic. I've lost it out there on that road. I don't know how many times. I said, Lord. He said, Jesse, got time to exercise your patience. I said, I want to make it. I want that old grandma to get off the road. Throw her in a ditch. I pray for a healing, but just get her in a ditch. I'm trying to get over here. Traffic. Oh, how many times I said, Lord Jesus, I lost my temper again. He said, no, look like you found it to me. I wish you would lose it. How many times you were so mad at the person in front of you, about ready to beat their brains out, and you pull up and it's Pastor Billy Joe. You go, oh, Globe, how about something about that? Hey, I know about that. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, pray for the pastor to drive faster, Lord. There's a cost to salvation. There's a cause and there's a cost. Now, the cost of the ministry, let me tell you what it is. My life. God looked at me and said, I want everything you got. Everything. Empty yourself in me. I said, done. But I want everything you got. If you're a covenant God and I'm a covenant man, that everything you got belongs to me and everything I got belongs to you. Deal? He said, deal. Done. I'll never forget the first time he asked me for $1,000. I fell out. I said, did you say $1,000? He said, I said $1,000. I said, Lord, come here. That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. Oh, Jesus. $1,000. The farm. So I said, surely you ain't going to never ask me for no more.
Good Jesus. I'm a Catholic boy. Lord Jesus. I mean, I'll lose that at bingo, but I ain't sure ain't going to put that in the plate.
Boy, I'm going to get some ugly letters. I know I'm going to get Then he asked me for $10,000, like I fell on the floor. $10,000. You know where it was? In Tulsa.
I came to Kenneth Hagin meeting. I believe it was 1983 or 84. I can't remember now. I believe it was 83 or 84. You know, his camp meeting. And I was sitting by a man. Some white-headed guy come up there and he says, and it turned out to be, what's that man's name? Norval Hayes, I think it was. He was going to receive the offering that night for Brother Hagin ministry. Now, listen to this. I never heard of him. I mean, I didn't know Brother Hagin from Brother Copeland. I didn't know him either. I didn't know him. I just went to this meeting because everybody said, you ought to go hear this guy. I said, okay. So I'm sitting there and this white-headed fellow says, the Lord's telling me that there are several $10,000 givers here tonight. I said to myself, not me, Jack. And this man sitting right next to me, leaned over to me and looked at me. I don't know him. He said, mister, the Lord just told me to give $10,000. I said, man, I heard it. I got to get away from this man. Over here. I'm hearing everything God tell him. See, the Lord told me to give 10 too. But see, I thought the Lord was telling him. I said, listen, I'm hearing him. Let me go over here. And the Lord said, now I'm talking about you. I said, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? I said, Lord, come here. That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for.
He said, if you give $10,000, you can come up here and shake his hand. I said, he can shake his own hand, Jack, for $10,000.
Listen with that. Living in a dream world.
$10,000?
You're living in a dream world. And the Lord said, you're not going to do it? I said, I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. I just want to think about it for a while. I said, I've never done this before in my life. You asked me for $1,000. I thought that was enough. I didn't think you'd ever ask me for $10,000. He said, well, just keep it. I said, I didn't say I was going to keep it. I said, I was going to think about it for a while. He said, go up there and shake that man's hand. Oh, do you?
I gave that $10,000. I said, certainly he ain't going to ask me for more. Then he asked me for $50,000. Then he asked me for $100,000. Then he asked me for $1,000,000. I said, Jesus, love of my soul, Jesus, Lord, $1,000,000, Lord, Jesus, help me, Lord.
And the Lord said, Jesse, Daddy, guess what? I said, what? He said, you got more than that. For the first time, I didn't say that's all I got. He said, you got more than that. He said, your harvest has come back. I said, yeah! Hey! I got more than that. Yes! He said, now, you understand. It took you years to learn how to give, but it's taking you longer to learn how to receive. Belief always has a beginning and an end. Faith always is. Now, faith is. Belief says, I'm going to believe this. I'm believing this. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. I'm believing, I'm confessing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I think I'm believing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this thing to work. See, belief has a beginning and it does have an end. But faith always is. Then you get past this belief stuff. That'll help you. Talk about get delivered is when you get past belief. I know in whom I have believed. Now, ain't no struggle. I know. Now, when you get like that, get ready for persecution. Who do you think you are? Well, how much time you got, Mama? Sit your ugly self down. I got to tell you who I am. Because it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I don't frustrate the grace of God. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I say that amount be thou removed, be thou cast, and see not doubt in my heart. Believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I'm going to have whatsoever I say it. You see, because I'm more than a conqueror. And, you know, and he went another way. He was brought up as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. They delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book, found a place where it was written, Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he had anointed me, preach the gospel to the poor, send me to heal a broken heart, preach the
delivered to the captive, to cover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach except the year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. All the eyes of them, and the God were fastened over him. He began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in you, and all bearing witness, one that the gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth. You see, if you don't have nothing in you, you can't get nothing out of you. You better have something in you. See, when you got something in you, now you know. Now you're gonna have to get the tape to slow me down. Because you see, if something's not in you, then it can't come out of you. Now, you get beyond belief when something gets in you. You know. You know. Now, you see the difference between my mom and this other mama here? That rebuked the boy over there? I thought she was pretty nice. My mama would have said, Mister, next to that boy, hit him. Drag him over here. I'll slap the fire out of myself. My mama could speak in tongues and slap me all at the same time. It never grieved her spirit. But it sure cast the devil out of me. For God so loved the world, cause. Now, I quoted all that scripture real fast. Get the tape, slow it down. It'll sound like it's, Lord God, so loved. If there's not something in you, it cannot come out of you. See, when a tragedy, something try to come against God, we go, what does the Word of God say about that? If a sickness tries to touch him, I say, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Devil go, huh? Oh, what's the matter? He took my infirmity, so why should I want it? He bore my sickness, so why should I need it? Give it to that Christian over there. He's believing for it. Yeah, we just get it every year. You know how many people's had my flu? I understand the cause, and I accepted the cost. For God so loved the world, cause, that he gave his only begotten Son, cost, that whosoever believeth, well, there's a cause, and there's a cost, and there must be a condition. You got to meet the condition. I promise you this about Pastor Billy Joe's daughter. You're not going to get behind this pulpit unless you meet certain conditions. As a minister of the gospel, you're not going to get it because this is holy ground. That whosoever believeth, the condition of salvation. The only condition of salvation is believing. But then you got to get like the Apostle Paul, believed. And when you get to the duh part, you get past that, they're about ready to cut your head off. Instead of saying, Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me. Lord God, they're going to kill me tomorrow. No, you say this. You got a piece of paper? Huh? Got a piece of paper? Let me write down one more revelation before they kill me tomorrow. Let me get down one more word to the churches here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You get like Peter. I'm sitting the latest tabernacle down. Let me tell you one more thing. Bless God. You want to crucify me? Do what you got to do. Turn me upside down. Don't make no difference to me. See, now you know. You've met a condition. Believing is actively trusting Christ in your heart, not just giving mental assent to the fact that Jesus lived. I mean, the devil believes that Jesus lived. The devil believes he walked on the earth. The devil believes he sat at the right hand of the Father. And most people do that too. But see, that's mental assent. Do you know he lived? I had to explain the virgin birth the other day. It was very simple. My man says, that's impossible. That cannot be. He said, explain it to me. I said, faith. See, I don't even know if the apostles believed it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But the original 12 disciples. You know, if I worked for a man that was born of a virgin, I'd be screaming my fool head off. He was born of a virgin. Y'all better come hear this guy. I'm telling you, he was born of a virgin. You understand? An immaculate conception. He the man. He the man. This is it. You know, they never said nothing about it. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Wonder if they believed it. You can't find it. Listen, if I worked for somebody who was born of a virgin, I'd be the first thing I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, I'll be preaching here tomorrow. Y'all better he's born of a virgin. This is God manifested in the flesh. Tell them, Mary. They never said nothing. You want something else kind of odd? Acts 20, verse 35. The Apostle Paul says this, I put you in remembrance of the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Billy Joe, that's not in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. It's not in the four gospels or the four biographies if you watch A&E. It's not where else. It's only in Acts 20:35. Paul said, I put you in remembrance of the words of Jesus. Was Jesus a giver? He had to be. Because it was never recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he said that. Yet, it's recorded in the book of Acts. I put you in remembrance of the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you know why I know he was such a giver? Judas. Judas, prime example of Jesus giving. Judas is the treasurer. He's the one that writes the checks. You got a treasurer in your ministry, right? Somebody writes checks. Tell him, go do this, do that. Spirit of God said, do this. Look, if you're at a dinner and you get up and you leave, most people think you're going to the bathroom. Or you're going to pay the bill. But they said, where's he going? To give alms. Where's Judas going? To give some alms? Now, I wonder how many times that Jesus walked up to Judas at 2 o'clock in the morning. Judas, get up. Why, Lord, why? You know that lady we met down the road there? About 3 miles? Yeah. You know, she needs some help. I want you to go down there and give her some money. Oh, Jesus, I mean, it's what? Then do what I do. We want to bless her. She needs to pay her house. Do that for me. Okay. There goes Judas. Jesus, you know, you met us? Yeah. But Jesus told me to give. Because he could ask her. You wouldn't say, where's he going to give alms? That don't compute. You won't say that. That don't happen unless your master is telling you to give constantly. Then he start messing up. He'd say, Judas, you know that man and woman that we met down the road? Yeah, I want you to go give him $100. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. He come on, he said, the Lord, Jesus, you know Lord Jesus, we was here yesterday? Yeah, the Lord told me to give you $50. That's how it starts. Did he say $50? Did he say $100? Yeah, I think he said 50.
You know he said 100.
Yeah, I know, but who else is going to know? I keep the bag. And he's known as a giver. And since he's known as a giver, they ain't going to check it. And they never did. And they never spoke about the virgin birth. I would have been screaming it from the top of my lungs. So I give that food for thought there. How about that homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological point of view? Think about that. Jesus was a giver. How you know? Because his father was. Oh, if you thought he was poor, I'm pretty sure that Joseph had a pretty good furniture business. You ever heard him hurting? You ever heard Joseph saying, boy, if y'all don't help me, we can't buy Mary any shoes? And she the mama of Jesus. See, Hollywood present that as some, like a half of a board, beat up, busted up shop. Jesus learned a whole trade. Wonder how many nice places that Joseph built. Wonder how much nice furniture he built. Wasn't broke, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, wake up to this thing. See, there's a condition. You meet these conditions. Why do I have to be saved? That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. Now, I didn't say that. I just repeated it. Jesus said it. No one comes to the Father except by me. What do you want me to do? That's what he said. There's some things that bind you. Now you just have to say what he said. People say, I don't believe that. Well, how come you believe it so strong? Faith. See, because I'm beyond belief. Because belief has a beginning and belief has an end. How many times you believe something, then you quit believing it? But faith always is. Bam, bam, let me hurry. I'm going. There's a lot of things I want to tell you. There's so much in this I want to say. I'm just trying to do this as quick as I can. When you understand this meaning of salvation, the word salvation in its true context means soundness. How many Christians you know today are sound? You know how much divorce is in the body of Christ? That's not too sound. You know how much thieving and stealing is in the body of Christ? That's not too sound. Salvation means sound. You know how much racism is in the body of Christ? That surely isn't sound. Listen, I come from the most dysfunctional family that ever lived on the face of the earth. We got everybody from killers to hookers in my family. I ain't gonna lie about it. I'm telling you, I got some cousins that are full-fledged hookers. I am not lying. Preachers, hookers, murderers. I got someone right now in prison for life. Some of my own cousins. I'm the only one in my personal family that ever hadn't been to jail. I got out. I got quick. I was smarter than they were. They got caught. I didn't. I don't mean that rude. It's true. I even had a funny uncle. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, man. He wanted to take care of us. I didn't want my Uncle Mac taking care of us. Mama said, your Uncle Mac gonna babysit you. I said, Mama, I don't want Uncle Mac coming over here. Now, I didn't tell my mama, but my Uncle Mac, he'd go,
Oh, I'll take care of them all, Velma.
I was 5 years old. I didn't figure that out. I said, Mac, he was 12. He was a young one. You better get out of here.
I'm going to make you an offer. You can't refuse.
Oh, I'm going to take care of them. Oh, go ahead, Velma. I'll be okay.
I said, Mama, he's funny.
Don't you say that about your uncle.
I said, Mama. So I figured out, Mama ain't going to believe me. You better believe your children. Children are telling you something. She wouldn't listen to me. But I knew he liked me. So I said, I know how to get rid of this boy. Remember them little bow and arrows with the arrows with the little blue stoppers on them? I pulled the blue stop off and I shaved that sucker, buddy. I cut that thing off, and there he come. Oh, Jesse, phew! And I, bam! I cut a gash in his head, and he went, oh, I'm going home. Oh, I'm going home. I go home. And he never babysit us again. A man got to do what a man got to do. Mama wouldn't believe me. Now, I can say that now, because she's dead and he's dead. Boy, I put a gash on his head, and I said, I tell you, true story. When Kathy met my family, she said, this is the most dysfunctional family I've ever seen in my life. I said, you ought to see my grandpa. He looks like the first vampire. You know that real long skinny guy? I ain't lying. He was 66 pounds. I said, and I brought Kathy over. He went, Kathy went, oh no, we ain't staying here. True story. Come Christmas dinner, everybody come. Here come one of our hooker cousins. My mama said, girl, you better quit that hooking business. I pay my tithes. The Lord don't want your tithes. Not that kind of tithe. And all the family, here come Uncle Mac. Oh, everybody's here. Here comes one of my other Uncle Norman. He mad. I don't want to talk to nobody. But he mess with me, I'll knock him down. You understand? I kill anybody. Okay. All of a sudden, cops will come in. One of my cousins, they let him out of jail so he could eat. I ain't kidding you, man. I want y'all to know this. Because you're going to meet him in heaven. They all got saved. I want you to know. They met the condition. They met the condition. Mama got them all saved. Mama persevered the word of God and got them all saved. So if you see this strange bunch of people when you get to heaven, you'll remember. I'm preparing you. Mama said, I ain't letting my family go to hell. Before she went home to be with the Lord on Easter Sunday, 1982, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They met the condition. Woo, they believe with their heart, they confess with their mouth. Now that's the meaning of salvation. But if there's a cause for God to love the world, and there's a cause that he gave his only begotten son, and there's a condition that whosoever believeth in him, then there must be a consequence. What's the consequence? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love the word everlasting. It's a qualitative term, not a quantitative term. It's got quality in it. See, everlasting life refers to salvation not only in heaven, but here. Soundness. See, Christians told me this because I drank a fifth of whiskey a day before I was saved. Before I got born again, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine. I did PCP. Crystal, you name it. I did it. I came out the drug culture. Yeah. Took trips and never left my house. I was a rock musician. Some of you heard my testimony. Man, I worked on the same circuit as Led Zeppelin, Grand Funk, ZZ Top. I mean, da 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 yeah. I mean, long, dark, chocolate brown hair girls just a screaming young people. That's your mama doing that. Your mama. Wow! Yeah, that was me. Worked with a lot of black artists like Billy Preston. Willie Goranzaga. Willie, like a little bit. Look at some of them people.
I was a heathen, but mama kept praying for me. She said, he don't understand the cause. He certainly don't know the cost. He's going to meet that condition, and God's going to give him the consequence. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what salvation means to me. Cause, cost, condition, and consequence. Oh, Lord Jesus. When you understand that, that works for you. So I met the consequence. Since I met the consequence, he said, a given, it shall be given to you. Now, you understand why I'm a blessed man? I got the consequence. I met the condition. I gave, and he gave unto me. But, Brother Jesse, you don't feel guilty about nothing? Nothing. That shocks you? I'm the righteousness of God. Oh, I'm going to give me some ugly lip. Nothing. Well, you just an old sinner. Say, bugger, no, I was not. I was a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I was a sinner. I ain't a sinner no more. Now, the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. I mean, that's true. But I ain't a sinner. If you're sinning every day, you need some help. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need some soundness. I can't help it. Yes, you can. I had a man tell me that one time. He said, I'm having problems with lust. I don't know what to do. But I got lust. I said, preacher, Billy Joe, I got a problem with lust in my life, lust. I said, what should I do? I said, tell your wife. She'll stop it. All right, man, she's the best friend you got. You better tell her. She'll make sure, son. She know how to stop that. Woman can handle that kind of stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't sin every day. I don't drink no more. Don't do drugs no more. None of that stuff. Got saved. Well, did you struggle with it? How many times I heard Christians tell me that? I just wouldn't believe it. See, they wanted me to start believing in something that's simply not true. Well, you know, since you drank so much, you better not get around that booze because it's liable to get you. Stay away from them drugs and more of them drugs come back and get you. Ladies and gentlemen, do you let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin? Ooh, this is strong stuff. See, I let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin. My Lord, I mean, I quit drinking the day I got saved. I ain't never messed with any of it. I don't even want the stuff. I don't even buy. I mean, nothing. Now I look at a woman the way she was created. My God, what a brain. Brilliant. A speaking spirit. Instead of some sexual object. It's a crying shame. What about all those parts? Parts wear out. That beautiful girl, you see, you think she's pretty now? Wait, it's coming. One day she's going to say bye, honey, and the bottom of my arm are going to be just a flapper. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you don't care because you didn't marry her body. I fall and I love. Let me help you. Fall back in. If you can fall out, you can fall in. Just turn around. Come on. Make your mind up. Now you know why I don't pastor. I don't play games. What did Jesus say? Is this true or is it not? If it's not true, we quit. If it is true, then we live it. Now I know that's hard, but that's the truth. Either it is or it's not. Let me ask you, are you going to build a dream center? Yeah. Then it's going to come to pass. Are you going to pay for it? Yeah. Right. Are you going to have people's dreams come to pass in it? Yeah. Then you ain't got no problem. You got faith in God. Do you see that? See, I never got around Christians to help me disbelieve. I tried that, but it didn't work. Trying never get nothing done. I didn't try to come to Tulsa. I did. I've been trying. You can ask people tomorrow. Boy, I wanted to go here, Brother Jesse. Why come y'all didn't come? We tried. Like people say, I try to pay my bills. You lying. Creditors always have better memories than debtors. But debtors remember it. That's why they run from you. Don't shout me down. For God so loved the world, cause that he gave his own begotten son, cause that whosoever believeth, condition, should not perish but have everlasting life. Consequence, cause, condition, consequence, salvation, soundness. Oh, man. I said, you never had no trouble in life? Sure. What'd you do? Rebuked it. Have you ever had any tragedy? Yeah. What'd you do? Rebuked it. I do the same thing Jesus did. Jesus' first cousin got his head cut off. I'll close with this. John. They were friends. That shouldn't have happened. How did that happen? Shouldn't have happened. What a tragedy. Bunch of men drunk and a lustful woman. And a child obeying the law or the word of a mama to a lustful king. And John lost his head. What did Jesus do? No. He said, I'm going to preach healing. He picked up John's ministry. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached healing harder than he ever preached. Then he looked at John and he said, what, you went out to see a reed shaking in the wind? Let me tell you something about the prophet of God. He preached stronger John's revelation than John did. Yeah. Secret things belong to the Lord. Sometimes something happens, Billy Joe, I don't know why. I said, God, why don't I know? He said, that's not a secret. That's a secret between me and him. That's none of your business. See, people get all shook up about funerals. If you quit thinking to yourself, see, because if you're thinking to yourself, you're crying. If you think of the person who went home to be with the Lord, you ought to be shouting. They received their final reward. Don't shout me down. Sounds hard, but hey, you walk through. Do I walk through? See, but I'll tell you this much. If you pick around that thing, you'll find out why it happened. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You'll find out, and I'm going to tell you something, a delay is not a denial. See, the problem is, if something gets delayed, you think God didn't want to give it to you. All of a sudden you say, well, say it didn't work. The devil says, I don't have to worry about that. No. Because they believe God don't want them to have it. So I said, Lord, can I live sound? I said, can I ask you a question? Can I be happy all my Christian life? Can I keep a smile on my face? He said, I keep a smile on mine. He said, yes, you can. He said, you can smile at trouble. Don't make a lick of difference. I've had the devil fight me with everything you could think of. But that's all right. I read the end of the book. I win. I win. And when you know you won, you're just walking, you're just passing through, glory to God. You're just passing through. And that's what salvation. So people say, you think you'll ever backslide? To what? What in hell do I want? What does hell have to offer that you're willing to go back for it? I preached a sermon on that one time. What in hell do you want? They want me to do a book on that, Harrison. I'm going to do it. Well, what does hell have to offer? What is so wonderful that we're going to go back? Man, I've had hell once. I don't want hell again. Yeah, thank you, Lord. If you're having a problem with lust, let me help you. Embarrass yourself. Rebuke yourself publicly. I promise you, the devil runs from you in the same way. See, the devil like pride. The devil like to look good. Hey, what's happening, Mom? What's up? How are you doing? So if you got some lust, and you know, I just walk up there. If you lust, and I don't say, excuse me, man, I'm just lusting after you. I'm a devil from hell. It's all over, and I ask you to rebuke the devil out of me. You do that once or twice. You'll never do that again. You shut that puppy down in a second. Because the flesh does not want to be embarrassed. That devil don't like to be embarrassed. Boy, you shut that down. You can shut all that sin down just like that. Just embarrass yourself. Say, excuse me, that was my flesh. And I bind it in the name of Jesus. God's looking at you in the wrong way. Look at some of y'all. I ain't doing that, boy. Well, then you might sin tomorrow. You've never let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? I tell you what, it'll shut down the devil in your life. Just embarrass yourself. If you lied, stop and say, excuse me, I just lied to you like a lying dog. And I ask you to forgive me. Why don't you just be honest? Somebody come and say, I love you. Say, I love you. Excuse me, I just lied. Tell you the truth, I just hate your stinking guts. Now, you wouldn't do that. But I promise you, you start doing that to yourself, not to them, to yourself. The object is, it's coming back to you. You quit that mess. In fact, God shut down a lot of false prophesying in the Old Testament. He said, if it don't come to pass, kill them. People quit prophesying. Okay, yeah. Not the Old Testament, but he didn't come to pass to kid you. Maybe we need some of that today. Thus saith the Lord, I think. I don't know. That would shut that down, wouldn't it? Now, we laugh at that, but that'll shut it down. So some of you young people, you in a car, you done fogged up the windows. Don't shout at me, don't look at them. I go to war you. I don't care where you go. I go to VBI. I don't care where you go. Let me tell you something. The devil goes to war you, and the devil goes to VBI. He's trying to stop that place. You see what I'm saying? He's going to do everything. He never missed church. Do you? Ooh, Lord, this is strong. I better shut up and get out of town. Listen to him. You understand? He ain't missing church. He wants to disrupt it. So if you didn't fog them windows up, you see this hunk of a man, this hunk of a girl, you're thinking, Lord, just stop and say, I rebuke this spirit of lust. Let's speak in tongues. I guarantee you, man, I mean, you defrost the windows. It's over. Point is that you shut that down in your life, it's over with. It's finished. It is just simply finished. If you drank a lot and you happen to go to Chili's or somebody and you eating something like that, and somebody order a beer and they look at it, boy, and it looks yellow and gold, and you go, whoa, just say, I rebuke you, you stinking beer, in the name of Jesus. You bound my life. I bind it, man. I promise you ain't no way to go bring you a beer. Get public with these things. Listen to me. Get public with yourself. I've done it on the road. I got so mad at a woman. One time, and she stopped at the light. I just walked. I said, excuse me. She said, you just in the plan. I said, yeah, and I'm mad as a hornet at you. And I asked you to forgive me because I wanted to kill you about 3 minutes ago. And I'm the fool and I'm wrong. I asked you to forgive me. I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me. I apologize. You were just riding too slow and I'm trying to get it. Oh, I'll get out your way. I said, no, stay in the way. You're helping me. Got back in my car. Listen, if I do something publicly, I repent publicly. Am I correct? That's some of my staff right there. Can I tell you one more thing? Let me hurry. I chewed out a guy in my staff one time. One thing I hate, somebody, you know, I walked out there and I saw one of the vans. The whole side caved in. Then they told me they had an accident and it was only a scratch. Now, don't insult my intelligence. That made me mad. So I come out there and I said, come here. You call this a scratch? The whole door is caved in. I like to see a wreck. What you call a wreck? When I got mad. I said, I'll tell y'all something. And I shouldn't be hollering at my people. You don't holler at people. Those are full-grown people. I said, I'll tell you what. You call this a... Do I got stupid roller coaster today? You nuts? This ain't a scratch. What's the matter with y'all? And they went, oh, but this is mad. Oh, let's go, but this is mad. Boom, they just took off. They took off, man. I'm saying, Lord, yeah, man, it's your truck. They lied like a dog said it's a scratch. The whole door caved in. The Lord said, fix it. I said, I'm going to fix it. Jesse, stupid. Don't you know better than to lose your temper. I mean, you idiot. God forgive me. You forgiven. I said, don't sound like it. You sound pretty hard. You forgiven. He said, well, what are we going to do about this? He said, I forgive you because I love you. Did I call the whole office staff in? I got on the phone. I said, call everybody in this office. I want them all in the foyer. Oh, they all come in there. Caesar Augustus has made a decree. This, he doesn't work for me anymore. Now he moved to Tennessee, I guess so. Ray. That was his name, Ray. Precious guy. Well, precious guy. I'm telling you. He said, buddy, I was hot. I said, I want everybody to listen to me. Now, most of the staff hadn't heard it. Only the maintenance department and the road crews had heard it. I was hot. So Kathy come down there. Everybody listen now. I said, listen, I need to apologize. I said, if I do something publicly, I repent publicly. I said, Ray.
He go, how you doing that, brother?
I said, I want to apologize to you. I should not have hollered at you. That was not your fault. You're not even the one that drove that truck.
That's okay, brother Chester.
He said, that's the biggest scratch I ever saw myself.
Then I looked at the guy that called it a scratch. It was actually a cave. And I went, yeah! I could feel it. Tabasco sauce coming up this leg. Behind you and Jesus.
I said, Ray, I should not have hollered you, and I asked you to forgive me. I said, I sinned against you, and I sinned against God, and I know better than that. And I should not do that. I'm a man of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know in whom I know how to control myself, and I lost my control, and I lost, and I asked you to forgive me. Did I say that in front of everybody? Now everybody going like,
we forgive you, Brother Jesse. We forgive you.
I mean, tears in people's eyes, man. Because I didn't have to do that. I am the boss, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I do run Jesse Duplantis Ministries. But what big deal? Who cares about that? And I said, Ray, I asked you to forgive me. And there was a couple other guys. I said, I asked y'all to forgive me. Y'all heard me holler. And I said, Roy. Now, he didn't want to put the scrap. He said, Brother Jesse, we tried to climb up a wall with a van. We should have never done that. Vans are not made to climb up walls. I said, that's why. He said, I apologize for calling it a scratch. We just caved in the whole door. I said, how'd y'all cave in the door? He said, well, it was halfway up the wall, and then it slid down the wall. I said, I understand. I said, well, I apologize to you, and I repent to everyone in this ministry that I should not have lost my temper. And I dishonored you, and I dishonored God. And I asked you to forgive me, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me. I tell you what, that spoke volumes to people. He didn't have to do that. Yes, I did have to do that. Yes, I did have to do that. Because you know who that kept in line? He. It made that flesh go. And my brother wasn't around. I couldn't blame him for blowing it. You know how you are when you're kids. That ain't had a mind. And that's helped me a great deal in my life. Now my flesh don't hardly stick its head up. Because it knows. That flesh tries something to go, oh no, he crazy. That flesh talks, he crazy. Jesse's crazy. Jesse will embarrass us in front of everybody. Let's stay crucified. Because he will nail us to the wall. Yes, I've learned something. And I can say something that really kind of shock you. Devil don't mess with me much. Because I embarrass him. And buddy, I won't let you know. It helps your holiness. And you don't hear those terrible things that you messed up with somebody or something, you know, just some God-awful sin that you trusted somebody. Because the greatest gift anybody can give you is their trust. It's not money. My partners, and I have thousands, I have 349,000 partners to my ministry. It's quite a bit, isn't it? It's a blessing of God. Maybe many of you are, I don't know. They trust me. I will never break that trust. That's the greatest gift they ever give me. My wife for 31 years, she trusts me. I trust her. My daughter, oh Jesus, I could not hurt my daughter. She trusts me. But above all that, I guess you could say I got a Joseph spirit. How can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? He trusts me. Do you understand? Jesus trusts me. He lets me make a lot of the decisions of this ministry by myself. I say, what do you want to do? He said, whatever you do, I will back it. Huh? You ever had that kind of relationship? I said, God, I don't know what to do. He said, Jesse, walk by faith and I'll sanction it. Just walk. You trust me, Lord. Yeah. I trust you. And he's placed some very fragile people in my hands over the years that I could have manipulated. But he trusted me. I'm not going to break their trust. He honored me. He took me when nobody wanted me. I want to live for him the rest of my life. I know what you think. Take heed what a man think he stand, lest he fall. That's a man standing in his own strength. I don't stand in my strength. I stand in the strength of God. You see, because he simply trusts me. Billy Joe, you trust me. You wouldn't let me to share this vision. And that often, that blesses me. I want to tell you something. Most pastors let me do anything I want in the pulpit, but I'm not going to hurt it. And I won't speak evil of it. And I won't take something that's not mine. You know why? You trust me. Jesus wants to trust you. Stand to your feet. He wants to give you everything he has. I know I went long. I apologize, but it's word explosion. It's a little later than normal. I want all of you to listen to me for just a minute. I never lied to any of you. There's been so many people lied to me. I told God if you ever do anything with my life, I would tell people the truth. You know these stories that I talk about? Could they all be true? Just follow me. Yeah. I just look at this Bible every day and go, man, you trust me to break this up, to feed this to people? Man. When this is not about somebody, this is somebody. And I'm handling Jesus right now. And it's a double-edged sword. If you don't skillfully use it, you can hurt and kill people instead of heal people. I'm going to ask you to meet my friend. I know this man. I know this man. His name is Jesus. I know him. Some people don't believe I've been to heaven. They fight me over that book. I have. But I believed him before I went to heaven. That was in Magnolia, Arkansas. Best Western Hotel. Room 105. 1 o'clock. I was preaching for Magnolia Christian Center. Pastor Paul Trokel. I can tell you that day I know it. Why you? I don't know. Then I finally found out. He trusts me. I've had some of the biggest talk shows want to talk about this. I can make millions of dollars. I refuse to do it. God didn't give it to me for that. Yet that book became number 3 in the nation, in the Christian circles. Isn't that a blessing? Man, I'm telling you, some of the biggest stars, I'm talking big time people. I refuse. I ain't doing none of that unless God tell me. I do not. God don't give me something that I can make a monopoly out of. Well, he gave me Jesus. I want you to meet my friend. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. If you don't know my Jesus today, would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? It would be such an honor. Lord, this is what I would tell the Lord. This is a person, they know about you, but they don't know you. I knew about God as a kid. I went to church. Mama made me go to church, but I did not know God, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know him at all. I just knew about him. If that's you today, can I say, Lord, here's a person. They have a history of you, but they never met you personally. And I used to stop right there because I was trained as a minister of the gospel to stop there until the Lord said, take it further, Jesse. Maybe you're in this building today and no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should live and you need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. I don't call it that at all. I call it selling out, burning all the bridges behind you. Maybe a preacher hurt you. Maybe a Christian hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize publicly. I certainly didn't mean to. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a person who's had some tough times. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. God, help them. You see, that father went out every day looking for that prodigal son. The prodigal son only came down the road one day, but that father was out every day. Some ministers don't care much about rededications or people coming back. But you know what the Lord told me? He said all that training they had before they backslide, when they come back, they immediately start up where they left off. We don't lose any of it. He said, we're a newborn baby Christian. We got to start from scratch and teach them. So maybe that's you. I'm going to ask you today to meet my friend. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to get saved for the first time, or, and be honest with yourself, you are not where you should be with God, and you need to come back to Him. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see those hands. Ushers, help me if you see hands I don't see. Yes, I see your hand. I got television lights in my eyes. Could I see others quickly? Way up there, I see your hand. Thank you. Way, way up in that, way up there at the very top of this building. People, pray with me. Come on. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you, I see those hands. It's never too late. I know it's 10:12, but before we were saved, we were still drinking. We had to go to work the next day. We didn't care. It didn't make any difference. I don't know why people get in a hurry over church. Could I see another hand quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Quickly. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes, I do. Thank you. I see those hands. Help me. Yes, I see your hand. Way up there, I see your hand. Yes, sir. Thank you. Look at the people. Come on, people. Pray with me. Thank you. I see those hands. Pray with me, people. Come on. Way up there. Way, way up there at the top. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I see that hand. Oh, glory to God. And I said, Lord, did I preach the right thing? He said, yes, you did. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. By lifting of a hand, you're saying, I want to get saved. Or you're saying, Brother Jesse, I got to be honest. I am not where I should be. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I do. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Look at that. Glory to God. Look at that. What a blessing. Thank you. I want everyone to look at me. Thank you. I see those hands. Many of you lifted your hand from the top of that building all the way down to the bottom right here. Some of you in the first sections. That took integrity to do that. That was not easy. But you did it. And you did it publicly. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, because see, all of you that lifted your hand were people of integrity. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lifted it. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand to get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. Just quickly come and stand right here. Just face me. Come on. If you're up in that top, it'll take you about a minute to walk down. Give them a hand clap as they come from all points of the building. Come on. Thank you, sir. Come on, give him a hand clap. Pastor Billy Joe wanted souls. I said, we'll get souls. We'll throw that net. Come on, give him a hand clap as they come from all parts of this building. Don't worry about the time. It's never too late to give your life to God. It's never too late. Come on, give him a hand clap as they come. Look at the people coming. See, the word of God exploded. It's called word explosion. That's what happened. What my eloquence? It's the Lord wanting to help you. Oh, my lahasa. You that need healing, wherever there's salvation, there's healing present. You can receive your healing as people are walking down. Come on, keep applauding. You may have cancer. It'll dissolve as you applaud for Jesus. Come on. Come give your life to God. Whether it's a first-time salvation or selling out for Jesus. Come on, it's time. Let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin. Isn't this wonderful? Look at this. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I want all of you that have come forward to look at Brother Jesse. Let me say it again. I never lied to you. I had so many lied to me. They were letting me go to hell and they just didn't care. They didn't care. Well, I do care. Jesus cares. That's really a strong statement for me to say. Because before I saved, I didn't care about nobody other than myself. You're looking at a very hard man that God softened and made laugh. Had no humor in my life at all. Was not a funny man before I got saved. I only hugged my mother once in my life. I can remember it. I was 6 years old. Then my grandfather said, "You don't do that. That's not manly." Never told my wife I loved her till 5 years after I married her. Just wouldn't say that. Lived on the streets of New Orleans called the mob, ladies and gentlemen. Do what you got to do. They harden you. You don't care. But when Jesus came out, I didn't cry. But when the Lord saved me, touched my life, tears came out of my eyes. It scared me. Literally, I hadn't had that happen. I'm talking about as a man. You didn't cry as a baby, as a child, but I'm talking about as a man. I went, "No." But you see, the Lord broke that old man, crushed him. And for the first time in my life, I could tell somebody I love them. You know what happened? I died. And I was reborn. The real Jesse. My daughter was almost 2.5, 3 years old. I would not carry my daughter in public. I didn't do that. Strange, huh? Weird. Because you know you're a man, you show no emotion. Because a friend of yours, you may have to take them out. So you don't make relationships. Do you understand? I don't think you understand the magnitude. The greatest miracle of my life was me. Not what God has done in terms of healing my body. He's done that many things. Me. He changed my life. And made me laugh. Made me happy. Gave me joy I never had. I was so shocked. First time I preached, people started laughing. I thought, what's the problem? And my